Thank you for joining us. Here at BLC, our purpose is helping people discover and develop a life in Christ. Now, here is Pastor Gary Toney.
So today, this word that the Lord kind of put in my spirit last week, it was, at first, because you all know me, I like to go into Christmas and talk about Christmas, and I'm going to talk about Christmas, but as I was putting the talk together, the Lord took me to John 10, and he began to deal with me about the subject of why Jesus came to the planet. And as I thought about it and just kind of meditated on this, because when we start to celebrate, and without a doubt, man, celebrate Christmas. I mean, you know me, I love Christmas. I love to party. I don't know if that sounded right. I love to party, but you know what I mean by that. But so make sure that you enjoy the holidays. I know that with everything that's going on, it is a little different. But it doesn't have to be, you all. It's a big part of this is going to be our attitude as we approach this. And so as I was thinking about our talk today, the Lord began, he really began to minister to me about the subject of being courageous. And as I thought about it, especially now, because during the holidays, some people are the enemy has, don't make a mistake of letting him deceive you. The enemy has been very, very intentional in his tactics here about the spirit of fear. And so I want to come against that today. I want you as a church believing with me. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And so as we unpack the talk today, let the Holy Spirit speak to you, because I realize that we're all at different places in our journey of faith. And so what that means is that as you begin to listen to his leading, listen to the written word, when you begin to do those things, the Spirit of God inside you is going to prompt you. He's going to give you that little nudge in certain areas of things that he's going to require of you. And that sometimes will, you ready for this? Require some courage. It's going to require you to have some trust in him. So let's dig into it. John 10, Jesus makes this statement. I want to use the Amplified here. He says this, I came. Now, I want you to wrap your head around this. Let me say it like this. I need you to start thinking other dimensional. And I know for some of you, like, man, that sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. Man, if you read the Bible with a vivid imagination, it will be a science fiction movie. It could be a thriller, a drama, all of those things. But I want you to wrap your head around the fact that a real person left a different world and came to this one. And not only did he leave a world that he dominated and was a part of as far as leading the king, being the king, he laid that aside and took on, we talk about this all the time. Not only did Jesus take on humanity, but here's the real part that we don't think about enough. He took on free will. See, this is the thing. People just think Jesus came like a robot and he did his assignment. No, the moment you take on free will, you have the opportunity to deny reality. That's why in the garden he sweat these great drops of blood pleading with the Father, man, is there any other way? But ultimately he makes the great statement that everybody knows, not my will, but your will be done. And so understanding that Jesus laid everything aside for you and me, this is why we celebrate. But I want a different perspective today as we go into this Christmas season. I want to inspire. I believe it's a word for the Lord for us as believers. He wants us to be strong and courageous. So listen to Jesus' words. I came that they may have and enjoy life. I know some of you thinking, yeah, but I'm not enjoying it right now. I'm stuck. No, you got to change the way you think. Huh? You got to change the way you think. You remember a few weeks ago we were talking about Joseph being in prison, and he came and he was in prison with the cupbearer and the baker. And he came in, he'd been out doing something, and both those guys, the Bible says that their countenance was sad. And Joseph came in and said, guys, what's wrong with y'all? Why are you so sad? And they said, well, we're in prison, Joseph. Well, Joseph was in the same prison, but he wasn't sad. Even though he was in prison, he didn't let prison get him. I think today in our situation that we're facing, don't let this get you derailed. Live your life, do your thing, enjoy, worship, celebrate Jesus. We're going to make sure that we do our part to the best of our abilities as your pastors and our team here to create an environment where we can gather in fellowship. But outside these four walls, man, we have an opportunity to be light. And I think this is the thing that Jesus wants us to understand. I came that they may have and enjoy life. Watch this. I love the Amplified. And have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. You know what? I went and looked this word abundance up. Now, Daryl, he's in seminary right now. He's studying some of this stuff. The Greek word here is the word perizos. And it means this. And this is the kind of life that God came that we could have. It means surplus. This is one of my favorites. Extraordinary. More than enough. Are you ready for this? Excessive. God came, Jesus came, that we could have this surplus, this extraordinary, this excessive life in Him. Now, the problem we make in our life right now is we're too busy looking at somebody else's stuff, somebody else's career, someone else's success, etc., and we think, well, we're not there yet. Stop doing that. You need to look at your own life. See, when you're stepping out and following Jesus, you see, His primary purpose, I want you to get this, not only did He come to give us this kind of life, His primary purpose was not only restoring His creation to the Father's intent from the beginning, and what was God's intent from the beginning? He created man in His image and told man to have dominion over the earth. The reason, listen to me very carefully, the reason the world is so jacked up is because the church has not stood up. And it is going to take a courageous group of people, not pushing our denominational philosophies and religious ideas, but embracing who we are as people of God and exercising our authority over the kingdom of darkness. See, not only did Jesus come to restore us to what Adam lost, but in 1 John, he tells us part of his assignment, a key component was that he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so the enemy is defeated, but we don't know it. What's even worse, we don't believe it. I mean, I hear Christians sometimes, some y'all know I love you, right? But man, sometimes we say some of the dumbest stuff. We actually have more faith in the devil getting us than God protecting us. And we say stuff like that. See, when you start to look into the Word of God and you start to trust in the fact that He's wanting this different life for you. See, at some point we have got to, you know, step over into faith. I believe this is the thing when you don't see everything, when you don't see the excessive, abundant life, when you don't see the overflowing nature of God, it's in those moments, because the Bible is full of people that went through those journeys. We're gonna look at a guy today that God took from just being a helper to leading the nation of Israel, but it didn't look that way throughout the journey. Many times you find yourself in different situations, and sometimes we have to make adjustments and we have to reevaluate our own lives. And what happens is when you find yourself, you see what God's Word says, but you're not walking in that yet. And so that what that is the opportunity for faith to kick in. See, embracing the abundant life right in the face of uncertainty. See, that's the thing. You got to fix your trust on Jesus. You got to refuse to accept anything other than what He said. Now, come on, guys. You know, that sounds like a really good one-liner, that we fix our trust in Him, that we refuse to accept anything other than what Jesus says. But how many of us really doing that stuff, man? You know, when we find ourselves in a struggle, sure, you know what? This is what we do. Then we want to go to Jesus. But that's not what He's talking about in John 10. He wants us living this way. On good days, on bad days, on the mountaintop, in the valley, when you got the victory, when you just got slapped upside the head by life. He wants you living this abundant, excessive, God's got me. But the key to getting to this kind of living is you have to embrace the fact that His way is going to be different. Remember what we said last week in this? We was in our Give Thanks series, and we were reading out of Corinthians where the Apostle Paul said that God, Jesus, is always leading us. He always causes us to triumph. The Message paraphrased it like this: He's always leading us in this victory parade displaying us to the body of Christ, to the world. And so we have to be willing candidates for that. Zig Ziglar, one of the, he's an old school leadership guy that I followed for years. He said, he made this statement. It's not a lack of time that people struggle with. It's a lack of direction. And what I've seen as a pastor in my own life and in the lives of the people that I pastor, we are all over the place. All over the place, man. We're doing this, we're doing that, we got this going on when somebody wants to try that. And half the time we blame God for stuff that he had nothing to do with. He didn't tell us to do it. We just wanted to, just, you know, I think I want to try that. Today's talk is one that's going to center us. I'm believing that it's going to bring us to a place where we are these strong, courageous people, willing to trust God in the middle of challenging situations, in the middle of difficulties, going right into a Christmas season that we're going to celebrate like we all always celebrate, that we're going to rejoice and we're going to worship like we always have. Why? Because we actually trust that God's got us in the middle of the storm. We actually trust that. Huh? Does anybody trust Jesus? Listen to the words, Joshua chapter 1. Listen to this. This is Moses giving instructions to his young protege that God has been grooming. And he says this in Joshua 1:9 out of the New Living. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Say it with me. I'm strong. I'm courageous. See, here's the thing. To be strong and courageous, you've got to change the way you think. He said, don't be afraid. Now, I need you to understand something. This is a prophetic word for you today, for the church. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. But Daryl, to get to the place where we believe that God's with us all the time, man, that's not gonna happen with you watching a bunch of mainstream media junk. It's not gonna happen. See, let's think about it for a second. God was with Joshua to do what? Now remember, if you go read the story, Moses is getting ready to die. God has done with his assignment there. The rebellious group of Israelites that refused to go into the promised land. The promised land is still there. It still belongs to the people of God, even though they're not possessing it yet. How many promises have you found in the Word of God that belong to you and you're not possessing them yet? You got to see this, guys. God was with Joshua to do something, not just to sit on the riverbank of the Jordan singing Kumbaya. No, he had anointed and empowered him. He had raised him up under Moses. One of the things that I love about Joshua's faithfulness and commitment was this. If you go back and you follow his journey, when Moses would go into the tent, into the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies, and the presence of God, the glory cloud. The Bible describes it that the glory cloud of the Lord would come down on the tent and you couldn't see anything. And eventually, the one story, Moses was in there longer than expected and everybody else left except this one dude. Joshua wouldn't leave. His faithfulness at that point was proving something to him. More importantly, it was revealing to God, okay, this is the guy that's going to take my people in, because I can count on him, I can trust him. See, stepping out in faith like Joshua did, guys, it will require a different mindset. I love the prophet Isaiah. He makes this statement in chapter 26. He says this. Y'all doing okay? All right. He says, Isaiah 26, 3, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. Who's going to keep you in peace? Those that trust God. God will keep you in peace if you trust him. It's a peace that passes understanding. He says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always. What's that mean? Always. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. But the thing I want to highlight, this phrase that your thoughts are fixed, I researched that a little bit. And in the Hebrew language, You know what this refers to, Daryl? Imagination. Don't do it, Paula. She's already doing it. Imagination. I know. But here's the thing. If you go back and study the life of Joshua, when God began to give him this assignment, he told him, Joshua, you meditate in my word day and night. That word meditate, that is to use your imagination. Stop just reading the Bible, you all. Get in the book and set up camp there and meditate. Imagine you being in the room. Imagine you following Jesus. Imagine you being with Joshua as he's about to embark on this journey at the next level. You see, for the born again, the more that our thoughts are fixed on Jesus, the more inspired our imagination is going to be. See, you can sit around and dream of stuff. Your next chapter, what's the Lord dealing with you about? Man, I mean, I know there are things that God has put on my heart for the future of Victory Life Church that I sit around and dream about. And then I get scared sometimes because I don't see any way in the natural how it's going to come to pass. But my whole journey's been that way. I think God wants us that way. See, the more inspired our imagination is, I like to say it like this, an inspired imagination is really spiritual imaging. It's seeing into the other dimension because you are born again, you are a spirit. This is why getting your thoughts fixed on Him, it helps you in your new identity. It really helps you to step up and to be courageous, to have the kind of courage that God needs you to have. One of my favorite, of course, you know, I quote King David all the time. In my prayer time, I actually make this statement. I am the seed of David. It is, right? I mean, we are in the natural, really, but I am more specifically because I believe that I relate to David in a lot of ways from a leadership perspective. David made some really dumb mistakes, you know, right? Well, who hasn't? If you're ever going to step out and lead, you're going to mess up. And the problem with leaders is your mistakes are in front of everybody. It's not like some of y'all, you can mess up, nobody knows about it, and you can keep it secret as long as you don't do something dumb and put it on social media. Huh? But I want you to listen to David's mindset because we're talking about having thoughts that are fixed. Go to Psalm 23. It's a very short psalm, and I'm sure many of you have heard Psalm 23. They always quote it in movies. They quote the one line, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I think it was even a rap song, something about it one time. Watch this. I want you to read this today. I want you to take Psalm 23, and I want it to be one of your new meditations. I want you to see yourself from David's perspective, because you have to realize David was a shepherd. He tended sheep. Most of his experiences with God before he became great was on the backside of the mountain with sheep. He's watching them, tending them, leading them. So listen carefully. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, he's praising God, you understand, but he's also inspiring faith in his own life. God is my shepherd. I shall not want. Some translations say I will not lack anything. Well, if that's the case, then that's part of John 10. That's that abundant, excessive, overflow life. If you're lacking nothing, the Lord's my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Well, if you're a sheep, that you don't want some old hard desert dirt. You want some nice fluffy grass. He leads me in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. You can come drink anytime you want, and it's not some raging river that's going to suck you in. Huh? Verse 3. He. Now, who's he? Who's he talking about? God. The Lord. He restores my soul. See, if you're hanging with the Lord, if you're trusting him as your shepherd, he will restore your soul. He will lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's going to lead you in righteousness to bring glory to him. Come on, somebody's got to get this. He's going to lead you in righteousness. Right in now, listen, everything wasn't perfect for David. He's going to lead you in righteousness to bring glory for him, for his name's sake. Then he says this famous quote, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I ain't never had a shadow do anything to me. You? Other than scare you. Huh? That's the tactic of the enemy. And so David is saying, even though I'm going through the valley of the shadow, I'm not going through death. I'm going through this shadow of death. I will fear no evil. Why? For you're with me, Lord. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. So you got to stay close to the shepherd. If his rod and staff comfort you, you got to stay close to him. That way, if the wolf, the enemy, tries to get you, he can just, cow. He's got you, right? Verse 5. Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, this is key for us today. Because what's going on in our life, don't make the mistake of thinking everything that's playing out in our nation right now is political. It is way past political. Listen to me very carefully. I know some of you vote this way and some of you vote that way. We're coming into a season on this planet as Christians that you better forget all that nonsense and understand who you are as a believer in God. Because God is getting ready to separate. I believe that the stage, the more that I dig into this and look at the landscape of what's happening, the stage is being set for the return of the Lord. Don't kid yourself here. This is not political. That's just junk that the enemy uses to manipulate people. And God is saying today that I am preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. God's going to bring, the New Living says God's made a feast for us right in the face of our enemy. See what he's going to do, and that's why I keep reminding you all to go watch that documentary on the wrath of God about the Galilean wedding. Because now all of a sudden you begin to see, wait a minute, God's not coming back for this broke down cripple. He's coming back for this beautifully adorned bride that he's been preparing for generations, and he's coming back for that. And that's going to be us. And we're not going to be this broke down, barely getting by, confused church that the media makes fun of and the unbelievers. You got to see this. Why? Because, Father, because you've anointed me. You've anointed my head with oil and my cup runs over. Now, Dustin, why can't God just fill your cup? Why has he got run over? Because we're living in a day that people need to see run over. Let's go back to John 10. Abundant, excessive, overflow, more than enough, too much. God is a, you ready for this? God is a too much God. So doesn't God know when the cup's full? Some people say, well, the cup's running over, that's just wasteful. Not according to God. Because he wants your overflow to affect everyone around you. But if you're scared and you're hiding, locked up in your house, now I'm not saying if you got the stuff, you know, then stay in your house. All right? But don't let fear run your life. Come on, you all. He goes on to say this, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. I quote this all the time. Goodness and mercy are following me. Matter of fact, goodness and mercy are chasing me down. They're looking for me right now. And then he makes this bold declaration. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, this psalm, this is one of my favorites. I mean, I use this one all the time in my meditation time. This psalm is a perfect example of how we manage our thoughts, you all. How we come to be thoughts of a better life. After all, we're created in his image. We're created in his likeness. And this is why time in the Word is so vital. Come on. It is the key. And we try to make it easy for you because, guys, I know our team, they know that you're busy, and so we put this stuff on YouVersion. We make these notes and talking points available so that you don't have to do all this research. You can go pull that scripture up, and you can meditate on it. And then if the Lord takes you somewhere else, then let him take you there. But at least you've got a starting point where you can, you know, set up camp on your break for 10 minutes and just pull this up, save it, and so you can pull it up and look at it. We're people of God, and we are... Make no mistake about this. We are in a battle right now. Now, I know some people think that like with Hollywood, that it's this battle of good and evil. The devil, look closely. The devil is defeated. The kingdom of darkness has been destroyed. In the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says this in chapter 9 and in chapter 10, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy. Who? The church. But what you've got to embrace today is that this battle that we're fighting, it is with the powers of darkness. The problem is we're not executing our authority with who we are. Listen to Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in, this is verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. Now, why would he use a word like war? Come on, Paul. I mean, we just want to love each other and gather and fellowship and have a big picnic after church. And what's this stuff in here for? We don't walk in the flesh. Listen, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Your battle, listen guys, is not with political leaders and other people. Your battle is with the kingdom of darkness. For the weapons of our warfare, here we go again. Now he's talking about weapons and warfare. They're not carnal. They're not of this world. You can execute, the Bible says when the Lord comes back, now not when he raptures the church, but when the Lord returns to this planet, the Revelation said that there is a sword that comes out of his mouth. Well, that's a freak. There's no sword coming out of Jesus' mouth. He comes back and he speaks a word. And like that, the enemy and everything going on the planet ceases. Just like that. We have to understand this is how we operate in that world right now. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is this fortified thing that's usually set up in somebody's mind. Joyce Meyer summed it up perfectly in her book, Battlefield of the Mind. That's where the war is raging right here. Because the kingdom of darkness is defeated. And if you give no place to the devil, why would God tell us to give no place to the devil if we can? He says, resist the devil. I don't want to make this about the devil today, but I want you to understand, you and I, we've been called to exercise some authority in this place. Pulling down strongholds. Casting down arguments. Thought life. Watch this. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And this is the key. And bringing every thought. Come on, God. Are you for real right now? Bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when you get a thought that comes in your head of fear, of worry, oh, I'm going to get it. What's going to happen? How are we going to do this? I can't. Am I going to lose my business, etc.? God's going to have you. Don't let those thoughts get in. Take every thought captive that brings you, you know, that exalts itself against the knowledge of who you are in Christ. You are an overcomer. Huh? Psalm 23 is a reality in your life. The Lord is leading you. He is preparing a table for you right in the presence of your enemies. That means that they're going to be there. They're going to be trying to torment and harass and distract you and get you derailed. See, the only way that we become what God has called us and designed us to be, guys, is that we become these courageous people. Say courageous. We become these courageous people that fix our thoughts on him. You got to fix your thoughts. What does that mean? You get your imagination dialed in. Wait a minute. God said I could do this. Jesus said I came that you could have this abundant life. So if your cup's not running over yet, chill out. God's not done with you. But don't start talking a bunch of negative, whiny, unbelief stuff. Huh? You think about it right now. Let me ask you a couple questions. I really thought I would be able to get this done, Paula, but not even close. So there will be a part two, okay? Sorry about that. I know we're getting close to Christmas, and we're going to talk about some Christmas stuff, but I'm talking about Christmas now. This is why Jesus came to the planet. We celebrate Christmas because he came. This is why he came, so that we can be what he called and designed us, what he died that we could be. Why don't y'all make a decision today? Let's be it. Huh? Think about it right now. What kind of self-image would you say that you have? Let me rephrase that. What kind of in Christ image do you have? Huh? Remember what Paul said? It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. Huh? Why? Because he's been crucified with Christ. You see, Jesus' promises, I want you to get this today. Our inheritance, John 10:10, huh? It is directly connected to our comprehension of our new identity. You got to stop seeing yourself as a denominational person. Well, I belong to Victory Life. Now, listen, we ought to take pride in our church that God called us to be a part of locally, yes, but it's a bigger picture than that. You are in Christ. You have been seated in heavenly places far above principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. Huh? You got to see yourself this way. And you're going to have to embrace this God identity to the degree that at some point in your human life, it's going to take you past human logic. Man, when you follow, I mean, come on, guys, you follow Jesus. This dude always stepped out. He went multidimensional all the time. He did stuff way out beyond logic. Some of the things he did, one of my favorite stories in the Bible, there was this guy that needed healing. And so Jesus walks over, scrapes up a handful of mud, Daryl. And then he spits it. Now, I know you, with everything going on, we don't want to spit. But now, I'm talking about moving past logic. He spit in mud and made some mud in his hand. And then he said, Sherry, come here. Let me put this on you. That's not logical, though. And see, if a preacher did that today, people would lose their mind. See, our job as believers in the times that we are living in, God is counting on. I want to leave you with this thought today, and we'll get out of here. We're living in a time in history where the stage is being set for the return of the Lord. Now listen carefully. This is really the driving force behind this whole talk, because God is going to need some strong, courageous people that have the right mindset. Now, we're going to walk in love with people, because our battle is not with flesh and blood, right? Our battle is in the other side of things. And all you have to do is stand up and exercise authority, not over people, not over people. Listen, America, don't kid yourself. This thing ain't over. You what? This week, there's some stuff coming this week that's going to blow your mind. This thing ain't over. Mm-mm. God is doing something spectacular in our nation. The problem is with the corruption and the manipulation that's driving the media. If you don't go to my church, you a grown person, you do what you want. But I'm your shepherd. Stop watching that. If you're watching mainstream media, you are so deceived right now. The enemy owns them, and they're not giving you news. They're telling you what they want to tell you to manipulate your thinking. Turn that garbage off. We are living in a time in history where the body of Christ needs to know who we are. And when we exercise authority over princes, I have taught y'all for months out of the book of Daniel how the angel showed up and said, Daniel, on your first day that you... Somebody help me. What was Daniel doing? Praying. Daniel, on your first day that your prayer was brought before me, I was commissioned. But a prince of Persia, a demon prince over a city, over a region, was interfering. You think it's changed? That same prince is here today somewhere trying to manipulate somebody. The only difference between Daniel and you and me, we got the authority. Now, all you got to do is say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to bow your knee. And he has no choice but to do it. But we don't do that. We watch CNN and ABC and all that garbage. And then we're like, oh my goodness. And you lose your mind. And then you want to get mad at somebody because they don't have a mask on. You're not, that's right, you're not fixing your thoughts. We are people of God, and Jesus came to this planet to give us a certain kind of life. Not that we're better than anyone else, absolutely not. But until you learn how to exercise your spiritual authority, you're going to be manipulated and deceived and jerked around with every thought and stronghold that the enemy can pour at you, and he can keep you in fear and keep you distracted. Today, let's be more intentional about our God life. Let's be on purpose about it. When you get up in the morning and your feet hit the floor, I want the kingdom of darkness like, oh, heck, he's up. Because you're going to start binding stuff. You're going to put a stop to the powers of darkness. And you're going to pray that all this mess, this deception and things that's going on, it's coming out. Y'all better get ready. It's coming out. Truth always wins. Truth. Like, what are you talking about? You know exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. Let's be more intentional. Let's be like Isaiah. Let's fix our thoughts. Can I give you one more scripture? And then I'll get you out of here, okay? Closing number three. 2 Corinthians, listen to this. Because this is how this transformation happens. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. Now see, this account here is talking about the account of Moses being in the presence of God, and he came down off the mountain glowing. Now Moses, remember, is getting ready to commission Joshua, and we'll pick up with Joshua next Sunday. But God is telling us today, unlike Moses, we come right into the presence of God. And just like a mirror, as we behold the glory of... See, when you look at the... When you watch Jesus get a scoop of dirt and spit in the mud, what's he telling you? He's showing you how the kingdom of God, it can override this three-dimensional world and the molecular structure of it. He made mud out of spit and put it on a dude and he got healed. Illogical. But so is spiritual transformation. And according to this passage, we all, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed into the same. Same image as who? Come on, man. Same image as the Lord. You should look more like Jesus every day you get up. You should exercise authority more like Jesus every day you get up. You need to, but you won't do that until you get your thoughts fixed. Amen. Now, for those of you that are watching, and as we've been talking, there's been that thought that you've kind of had rolling around, like, man, I'd like to have part of that life. I want to live without fear and know that heaven is my home. Well, you can. This is the life of faith. You just have to take a step. You have to ask Jesus to come into your life. Don't think you're going to understand all of it. None of us understand everything about the Lord. We're still growing and learning. Like Paul says, we're still being transformed. But you have to take that first initial step of faith. And so if you're watching me right now, hey, maybe you're listening 6 months from now on a podcast and that thought pierces your heart. Stop what you're doing and say this prayer with us. Give the Lord a chance in your life. That doesn't mean you have to be a member of Victory Life Church. We would love it if God leads you to be part of our family. But more importantly, we want you to be part of the family of God. And it starts with this very simple prayer, asking Jesus into your life. So we're going to say a prayer here in the room. But those of you watching, those of you listening, say it with us. Lord Jesus, come into my life and make me new. And from this day forward, Jesus is my Lord. Heaven is my home, and I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you said the prayer, man, tell somebody. This is the most exciting thing that a human will ever do. It's the greatest miracle of all miracles. You just got changed. You just got born again. Your name was written in heaven. Let some people know. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Tell somebody. Call us here. Call somebody so we can help you, or somebody can help you in your next steps in your journey of faith. Amen? We're so grateful that you have taking that bold step today. Now, for the rest of us, this is our opportunity to support the ministry that God has called you to. And so with nobody in the room today, there's no offering taking place in the room. But for all of you, man, you guys are so faithful at supporting what we do. So thank you. Just go to our Church Center app. You know, the Lord will take care of that and continue to bless you and all that you do. I think that, you know, God's doing something significant. So you just follow your heart with whatever he tells you to do as far as leading and giving, and God will continue to bless you in all that you do. Amen. God bless you all. We love you. We'll see you next week.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, please be sure to click on the subscribe button. For more information on Victory Life Church, check us out at victorylifeky.com. Thank you so much for listening.